You are now listening to the podcast on creativity and execution.
What does it really mean?
Kevin Peter Wilson, what you just did describes you. He literally told me Colossians 3, and then at the same time, he was worried about OxyClean product for his t-shirt.
I'm going to spill all over your shirt. Kevin.
We're recording!
Oh, really?
Jared! Alright, we're gonna record starting now.
I kinda like it.
We got Kevin Peter Wilson on the podcast today.
What's up?
And I've been wanting to record this podcast for a really long time because Kevin is, one, amazing. He's a really, really good guy. If you know him, then you probably love him. And if you don't know him, then I don't know, you should know him. You probably actually follow him because he's got a lot of followers on Instagram.
Yeah, you can follow
him. He's an influencer. But we're going to talk today about influencer marketing because Kevin heads up influencer marketing for us and does a phenomenal job. So I kind of want to uncover, like open up influencer marketing, what it is, how you do it, how you see it, things that like you'd advise people if they're doing it. So it's definitely going to like help a lot of people if you're like in influencer marketing. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah.
So tell me, that's like, good. What is, here's the thing. When people say influencer marketing, there's two sides. One side is like they cringe and then the other is like, yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like
yeah.
Cringing. Cause like, obviously it's a buzzword. Like if you're an influencer on Instagram, but what does it mean for you?
Yeah. I think influencer marketing is, I think it's interesting that you say it's going to cringe. Cause I think a lot of people do hate it. I think it's becoming more of a common thing to hate influencer marketing, hate influencers, because I think people are tired of seeing basically ads on their feed. But I think people don't realize that they see ads everywhere they go. They see it at restaurants. They see it at movies. Everything is an ad. And so this is just, it's not a new thing at all. It's just a different way that people are advertising. So I think...
But is an influencer marketing... campaign an ad?
Yeah. I think it's an ad.
Is an influencer an ad?
Like, I think influencers are walking ads.
So you're an ad.
Yeah, I think everything on my Instagram for the most part is an ad. And I think that's the way for a lot of influencers. I think.
And you don't see that negatively.
No.
Right? Because you don't see your Instagram profile as like, it's just my personal life. Like you don't really share.
No,
it's really
I don't.
Like your essentially business or your.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's your store. Like,
yeah.
So that's how you're
treating. That frustrates my wife a
lot.
She's like, why don't you post me? But I think the way I have curated my Instagram, it is very much an ad. And it's not an ad for a specific product, but a specific aesthetic.
Like, it is an authentic ad to you. Like,
mm-hmm.
it is very you.
Yeah.
That's, I think, also the difference. Like, when it's an ad for people in, like, their personal life, or their life is very like opposing to like their online life, which is what we talk a ton about. But for you, like you live that, like your clothing, fashion, like designing stuff, like designing jewelry, like that's your life. So it is an ad, but it is very genuine to you, which is cool.
Yeah, I think it has to be genuine and authentic.
Yeah.
I think today more than ever, people want authenticity, and you almost can't be authentic on Instagram anymore because I think people see right through it and people are just over it. And I think that's part of the reason some people don't like influencer marketing, because so many people are inauthentic. They're saying one thing online and then they're doing another thing. But I think people are just going to have to kind of realize that it's not going to go away, that influencer marketing is a billion dollar industry and it's only growing. Yeah, I think I remember I saw something by like 2025 or something. It's going to be like over 20 billion. It might already be over that. And I think even with COVID, like people ramped up more than ever. I mean, right now during Fashion Week, brands are using influencers to showcase looks in their fashion show. So more than ever, influencers are being integrated.
Celebrities. You're talking influencers.
Like influencers.
Celebrities.
Yeah, like content creators, influencers.
Okay.
They're literally using it because you can't even, like today, you can't always go out on a 25-person photo shoot. And you definitely can't go on a 150-person fashion show. So they're utilizing influencers who already make the content and have the the beautiful homes or the spaces and the ability to make that content, and they're sending them looks, and then they're putting together full fashion shows.
Yeah.
And I think for people that don't like influencer marketing, they just can realize that they have an unfollow button, and that it's really important to use that unfollow and mute button. I've really learned that for myself.
There's some people, like, I'm sure, that still use, which is fine, like Instagram, to follow their friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they want to be up to date with their friends, so that everything we're just describing is, like, contrary to that.
It's like, yeah.
So I'm sure you have probably friends that are, like,
yeah, I think people in real life I even know and talk to sometimes definitely have. I think they just don't want to see fashion stuff, which is fine because, like you said, I do not post really anything super personal. Yeah. But going back to your actual question, I think influencer marketing, when it comes down to it, is just someone who has influence in a specific sphere.
Yeah.
So there's food influencers, there's interior influencers, there's clothing, fashion, beauty, which are probably the biggest, but there's even sports influencers and athletic influencers.
Could there be an influencer for anything?
I think so. There are some extremely niche things on influencers that I've seen, like vegan eating and certain type of diets.
So you think,
and
like, right,
everything.
Brands, people that own brands, like, if they were to utilize influencer marketing the way we're talking about, like,
mm-hmm.
it could be really, really beneficial.
Yeah, because I think...
Even more so than, like, a generic, like, not generic, but, like, just doing a photo shoot with some random people,
mm-hmm.
or, like, running an ad without using influencers. Like,
the
power of an actual influencer in your sphere goes a long way.
Yeah, I think, because when you think about it, people always seek community that's like-minded. So even if there's
a super
niche group of people and product... an influencer, say there's this person that just likes this really specific thing, but it's like super unique to you, you can use them and they're going to be able to use that influence, even if it's just 400 people, because that's 400 different people that you probably couldn't have reached before. So that's why micro influencers
are
so big.
Yeah,
because those micro influencers are able to cultivate. So micro is probably anything like super, super micro under like 10,000 followers.
Okay.
And they can really, they've built a strong community of people that are super like-minded, because those people, those 10,000 followers, it's not a huge number compared to other people, but 10,000 people is a lot. Like 10,000 people looking at something is a lot. 1,000 people.
Right?
Yeah, and they're interested, and people look at them like they're your friends compared to someone with 1 million followers who most of those people are just completely random and they're not all going to be super interested.
That's a good point for brands. Like, I think you told me this one time, like, we were working with a brand, and, like, they were going after influencers. You're like, honestly, instead of going after, like, the Kylie or Kendall that's, like, millions of followers,
mm-hmm.
like, they could just do a ton of, like, micro-influencers that, to a degree, like, could have more impact. I mean, there's definitely a splash with, like, the Kylies and
mm-hmm.
those, like, celebrities. But, like, if you're in a niche business, like, micro-influencers can go
a
long way. Because it's, like... I get it, because personally, the same thing. Like, Cristiano Ronaldo posted something today. I'm like, oh, it's just an ad. Like, it's just whatever. But, like, someone that I really like posts something that I have a relationship with from afar, I feel like I'll buy it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's people like
that. Yeah, that's, like, the power of an influencer who is authentic.
Yeah.
I think you can really tell the difference between when an influencer is making an ad just to, because they have to, because they wanted the money from the product or from the deal, and then you can tell the difference between an influencer who's working with a brand that they really love, because A, it makes sense for their brand. You've probably seen them talk about something similar before, and B, you can really tell by the way that they speak about the brand. Does it sound just like an ad, or are they really putting in the effort to showcase it and it makes sense in their life?
Yeah.
So if I was, for example, my Instagram is really focused on fashion and minimal and not always super minimal, but just fashion in general. But it would make a lot of sense, say, if I worked with COS, like COS stores, which I'm wearing right now, it'd make a lot of sense because I'd be able to authentically showcase it in my content and be able to talk about it super excitingly, even if it was for free that they just sent me something. But it would be a lot different if I was going to get paid $1,000 for like a pair of like sports shoes, like a pair of like running shoes or something, because I don't run and I wouldn't be able to authentically showcase that into my content. Like, it just wouldn't make sense. So as an influencer, you have to make sure that you're authentic and brand. You have to really do your research for that influencer. I don't think it's always the smartest to just find them and work with them, but actually follow influencers, learn them. How do they talk on their stories? What are they talking about? What kind of content are they posting on a daily basis? And if you really want to see a strong ROI, you have to like really follow them and get into that community with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which is what you do, and you do super well.
Yeah.
Like you're really growing that. So that's cool. Like, I mean, I think you explained influencer marketing really well. What are some things that like you notice brands doing really well? Like, talk to me about like, I guess even the fashion. I mean, you're really into fashion, so mm-hmm. I'm sure you know a ton of things that are happening there. Like, within influencers, fashion. I don't know, like, what are you excited about seeing in fashion and influencers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think now more than ever, I think giving influencers even more space in a brand and not just doing one-off posts, but really, like, just to bring up costs again, they recently did in Europe, they did a collaboration with an English influencer and someone based in Copenhagen, where they literally had these influencers style their entire spring summer collection. So they did a live stream and then you could shop it right after.
So and utilizing them for more than just a post.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, you have to realize that these influencers for these brands, they're kind of their customers, but at the same time, they're really at the top of their game within that industry, if that makes sense. Like for fashion, for example, these influencers that have such a successful, not just following, but following and content and deals, they got that way because they put in the time, effort, work, experience, so they are able to effectively talk about fashion and showcase how to style it, and they're more than just a one-off post, but really giving influencers the space to showcase all that they can do is super important. And then I think people are really starting to realize that like being an influencer is a full-time job and what you can actually expect from an influencer to do. So I think a lot of influencers are not just taking, they're not taking like crap from brands anymore. Like you have to pay me, you have to like know what I'm worth. Like, cause I mean, you really are, if you do it in the right way, gonna get a huge return of investment from an, as a brand from that influencer.
So like someone sends you a t-shirt or let's just say a pair of pants, it's like $150. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, here you go. Here's $150, obviously. I mean, they're giving you the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You make a post. Like, the return on their investment there could really be significant.
Yeah.
Like, definitely almost 3x.
Like, yeah, I've seen so many times, like, influencers posting something, especially just, like, when it's the right one, when you just there's
in
a
micro,
YouTuber,
we're not talking macro,
even 100,000 is honestly considered a micro compared to like celebrities. And there's someone with like that's on YouTube, and I've seen that they talk about brands that are kind of like the mid-level. They're definitely not luxury, but they've partnered with her, and I've seen her so many times write about how the clothes just sell out after like her YouTube
after
video, just mentioning it, and then just tagging on Instagram. So I think it really speaks for itself.
I read this morning a TikTok. So there's this influencer on TikTok, right? I don't even know what she was an influencer of, but like she just was. Ton of views and followers. And she made a post recently about like a, I don't know if it was a hair product, some sort of makeup brand. She like made a post and she called that makeup brand something and it like blew up. Anyway, like this brand turns around and offers them, that girl, like a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially now they branded that product to her branding. Like they kind of collabed on it.
Yeah.
And literally sold out. Like it's
like
super quick.
Especially some of the bigger influencers are
she's
doing like collabs and just making so much money.
I think right there, like talk to me about like the power of collaborations with influencers. Mm-hmm. Like why don't brands do it more? Is it like, I don't know how to, is that something like you can help with? Is that something that like we do? Like, how do they even go about it? Because I'm sure like, do they just not know the power of it? You know,
mm-hmm.
like,
Yeah, I would say some brands are probably, they A, don't know the power, B, probably don't know how to do it, and then C, probably are a little scared because it really is putting so much trust into almost like an outside source, an outside person. But then I think there's so many brands that are doing it, and they're doing it super well. I've seen, even just on my feed, so many different collaborations that are coming out, and it's so powerful to utilize that audience because it's more than just an influencer posting about your brand, but it's an influencer putting your name on something. And especially, if you really have a dedicated audience, people want that because they love the influencer. They might not even like your brand, but because it's that influencer, because they feel like they've been following them, even if they sometimes feel like they have a relationship, even if they don't know it, and they want to support that influencer. Yeah.
Which is, I think that's really cool. I think that's one of the things that makes me really excited about influencer marketing and what you're doing and then what we're doing with some brands, like really utilizing the word influencer marketing into not like the end of like, not just like, let's make a post, here you go.
Yeah.
But like you're really developing like the relationships, like collaborations could very much be around the corner, right?
Right.
Like, I know you're personally doing a collaboration, which is awesome, mm-hmm. which you can tell me about that in a bit. But then also, like, for brands, like, that is such a, yes, let's do it, right? Like, that's something that could be very, very good.
I think my advice, my number one piece of advice to brands looking to do influencer marketing is I think there's a lot of pressure from people sometimes that are a little bit higher than you or that you have to like directly report to just get numbers and get people to say yes and get this person. But I think my number one piece of advice would be don't get an influencer just to say you had another influencer, but get people that you truly believe in, like I said earlier, that are gonna work. Because at the end of the day, you can say you got that one influencer, but if it wasn't the right one, they're not gonna do anything for the brand. They might not post. You're not going to get the ROI because they don't have the right audience because they're not excited about the brand. So really spend time and be super selective about the influencers that you're going to reach out to, because I think it's going to be all the more successful. And then something that I've seen so many times before is if you don't have the budget to pay influencers but you want to work with them, if you find the right influencer that's super excited about your brand, influencers will post for free sometimes. They will. I know it's a huge push in the industry, like pay us what we're worth. But sometimes people do just super resonate with the designs or the message of a brand, and they will want to support. So I think it's all about aligning.
If on the other side of the brand, there's a real human
that
crafted their own brand, like especially for small brands. Like, for small brands, like if you're a brand owner, you don't have a ton of money, and you're like, man, I'd love this. Like coming out with that real story to an influencer, like, I mean, at the end of the day, what I like is influencers are real people.
Yeah.
Which connect. And so I like that a ton that you're saying that, like, you don't have to have a ton of money just
at
it. If you're a small brand, this could be for you too. But it's finding the right one, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think about, like our next door neighbor, like, let's just say, I mean, they are a vet, right? Like a pet clinic. You can hear the dogs. Like, I don't know if they do a ton of digital marketing and, like, influencer marketing, but, like, if they find, like, a dog lover.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm
saying? Like, there's so many, there's accounts that just post about dogs and that love dogs. And there's probably going to be people in whatever city that you're at that are following those people. So it's all about spending time and finding the right influencers to align with, because they're definitely, definitely out there.
Yeah, I agree. So what are some things that brands, I mean, you're kind of going into that, but like, what are some things that brands could be doing, like some steps for influencer marketing?
Mm-hmm.
Brands that like are not doing it at all, and then brands that are doing it, but like things that you feel they can do better. You know, because you've been telling me like, oh, I know, because you get sent a lot of stuff. Like you are an influencer, and there's like there's some brands that like honestly they just don't know what they're doing. Like they're just sending. Like what can they do better to maximize like their influencer campaigns?
Yeah, I think for people that aren't doing anything at all, it's just starting small. I think sometimes the hardest place to start is starting. Like that's the very hardest thing. So I think maybe even setting a number, if you want to work with one influencer just to try it out, or if you want to work with five influencers just to try it out. And I think just finding those right people, spending time researching on Instagram. A little tip that I've learned is finding one influencers that you really like, and then honestly just going through their following list, because they probably follow
really?
People that are similar to them.
Yeah,
like that's something that I do.
That is awesome.
Yeah, like going through their following list, going through their friends' following list, going through like tag photos, finding accounts that repost people like that. I think that's the main way that I find influencers. So just starting off small and just doing it. Like, don't be scared. Don't worry so much about the numbers and the metrics, but find those people that align with your values and then create a relationship with them. So like, treat them like a human. Don't send them an automated email that you're going to send
like
to 50 people.
That's a key part.
Like, if I get something that I can tell that is just been copy and pasted or just ran through a program, it just feels so impersonal, and I'm more than likely just going to click off
so
the email.
Good.
Yeah, it's huge, because so little brands are actually doing it. So little brands are actually even writing your first name in the email.
Really?
Yeah, so I think...
Like, automated emails?
Yeah, from like random platforms that are just like the same thing over and over, like Crocs. Like, I swear I get 2 emails a week. Like, apply for this collaboration with Crocs. Apply for this. Apply for this. Like, no. Like, they clearly didn't look at my content.
Yeah.
Like, they just keep sending the same thing, the same email over and over and over, just with the different name of the campaign. And obviously, I'm not even looking at it. And I think if they spent some time finding the people that actually want to wear it, such as like Gen Zs who are starting to love Crocs again, and really finding 100 of those influencers and sending it to the right people, then they would be successful. I mean, I'm sure they already are successful because people know about that brand. But and then, I think that could go along with the brands that are already doing influencer marketing, but they could do it better. I can't tell you how many brands I've worked with, got the product, and then never heard from the contact again after they sent me the tracking number. So they don't follow up to see if I like it. They don't follow up even to see if I'm posting. That's fine for me if I don't always end up posting, which I do always end up, I always post if I say I'm going to, but they're never seeing if I'm posting. They're not pulling analytics. They're not seeing if it's successful.
Really, like, at that point, you're really, wasting time and money.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Because, okay, you just sent product, like, you're hoping it sticks, but, like, really building a relationship is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. Because I know some people just like to send it and they don't really care.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is a business and you do need to sell product from an influencer collaboration. It's not just, oh, this is nice, let me send it, I hope it works. At the end of the day, and I bet there's someone in your company that cares if you're actually meeting that certain number.
Totally.
Because especially if it's a small brand that's really putting time and heart and energy into a brand, like, it's super important that it's being successful.
Totally.
Yeah, because...
And what about brands that are doing it? I guess you kind of mentioned that, but like, I guess you mentioned that. Tell me about right now, like, brands, or at least you, I mean, you're running an influencer marketing program. Like, what are some things that you feel we do differently for brands? Because I think that's like, if I Google influencer marketing right now, literally like these platforms will come up that like search a database, and it's just very inauthentic.
Yeah.
So I hate to like even say like we do influencer marketing so heavily, because it's very different the way that like most people perceive it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, what are like 3-4 things that you feel like you do differently?
Yeah, I think number one is definitely relationship. And I think just within relationship, there's so many layers, because for the brands that we've worked with, and we worked with several now where we found influencers and ran the whole campaign, is that these influencers are hand selected. Like, I'm literally going on Instagram looking for these influencers. I'm not going on even a database, which we do have database and lists of thousands of influencers. But if I'm really looking for the right influencers for a brand, I'm taking the time to go onto Instagram and looking for people that I feel would really engage that brand and be able to create good content and for it to actually be successful. And then not only are we hand selecting them, but we're hand writing the emails. They're not copy and pasted. We're emailing those influencers and we're telling them why we want to work with them. If it's because we're looking to reach a certain city, the market in that city, because we love the content that they create, for whatever reason it is, we're telling them why we want to work with them. And then after that, we're not just leaving them, putting them through a system, but we're continuing to DM them, we're following them. I follow the influencers. Yes, like we create real relationships. We comment on each other's stuff. We like each other's posts. Because at the end of the day, influencers are here to support our brands, but we're also here to support the influencers and their personal brands. So I think that for sure is the biggest thing that we do differently. I mean, we...
And the content, we were talking about just like the creative content. Because I've seen you like talk to some of them about like what they're posting, giving them ideas for like different shoots.
And yeah, like that, which is really cool. Yeah, like because we're here to support them and to help them. Like, how can we help you? Can we give you ideas? Yeah. Can we send you certain things that you need? Like, do you need another product that we have to create this content? And then we get it to them in the time that they need it. And then we ask them for feedback, even about, so we bring the influencers, if the client allows, into our world to hear from them, because we recognize that they're experts in that industry, so we want to hear from them. We hop on the phone with them. I'm going through for a brand, and I'm literally calling every single one of those influencers because we care about what they think. We want to make sure that they are taken care of, that they feel good, but also that they're being successful. And if we realize that one of our influencers aren't being successful, then, you know, we end it, but we don't end it because we don't like them. We just recognize that it's time for this partnership to probably end. But at the same time, we always support them.
I've realized that anytime relationships do end, it's probably mutual.
Yeah.
Like, if they're not finding success, if the brand's not finding success, it's probably like, it's just not a good fit. And I mean that like Crocs sending you know, like, doesn't necessarily fit your vibe right now, maybe, or like, I don't know, something random like that, right? And so I think that goes a long way. And I think like with certain small brands that we've worked with, like sending that to the wrong influencer could actually be, you know, not very good and not super helpful. So
yeah,
I like,
because
that
if it's not the right influencer, they're not going to post. And if they do post, it's going to be, I mean, honestly, I've had brands that have sent me stuff in the past and for whatever reason, I accepted it, but I didn't really like it or love it. And I post, but the content's not good.
Yeah.
And if the content's not good, the audience isn't going to respond.
Yeah. So and it's really a spiral effect there.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, I think this influencer marketing conversation sounds a lot like a sort of like a social media partner. Like, that's kind of what we're doing. Is like
it's like an ambassador for your brand.
And people that post on Instagram or YouTube, TikTok, whatever, like, we're really partners in figuring out a whole bunch of scenarios there, which, you know, like, I mean, we go as far as needed and do as much as needed to really be successful for the brand, because that's the end goal. And that's definitely something that I've seen you do time and time again, like whether it's, you know, late night phone calls or Zooms or posting, you know, or checking in on posts, how are you doing, like stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it has to go beyond a 9-to-5. Really, because it's a relationship with the person. It's not a transaction at the end of the... I mean, it is, but it isn't. It can be a transaction, but it's not going to be as successful as a relationship. And there are transactions. There's give and take within the relationship, but it has to be mutual in both ways.
I love that. So I think to bring just full circle value, like, tell me, in a world where, like, let's just say a local restaurant, like your local restaurant... you know, we're talking about influencer marketing, and they're like, I don't even know, like, who's an influencer for a local restaurant? Like, they don't even know. Like, if I were to say, hey, we've got a local restaurant, we really want to run, like, a influencer marketing campaign or something. We just need to help them.
Yeah.
Like, how would you approach that? Just kind of, like, in a couple minutes, just throwing out thoughts.
Yeah, I think there's a few different ways. So if I was the brand, I would, if I really didn't know anything, I would find either an agency or someone to come in and help, which is exactly what we do for people.
We say they reached out to you as an agency and were like, hey, like, can you guys help us out?
Yeah.
Like, where would you go?
Yeah, so say I had a restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona reach out and they want to drive traction. They are redoing their menu or they're releasing a new dish or a business has honestly just been slow.
Yeah.
You don't even need to have something new coming out. I would, right off the bat, I would immediately start to, I would just go on Instagram and I would find influencers in that city. And I would find, first I would try influencers that already post about food. And then I would also just try influencers that are in the city and might not even post about food because everybody goes out to eat. I think restaurants are interesting because that is so broad. So I think recognizing what influencers you're looking for is the very first step.
And are you looking for people that have 100, 200K, million in that city? Mm-hmm. Or are you also looking for like intentionally also looking for like 2Ks?
Yeah, 5Ks? I think it depends. If so, maybe back up a little bit, even before what influencer, what am I looking for? Think about what can I offer these influencers? Can I offer them a free meal? Can I offer them 5 free meals? Can I offer them $1,000 and a free meal? Can I offer them what can I give these influencers? Because really that is going to impact what influencers am I looking for.
Yeah.
So if I'm a restaurant, you know, I'm struggling a little bit. I don't have a ton of influencers or a ton of money to think about it. What I would do is I would probably look for those influencers between 5 and 20,000.
Okay.
And I would...
Yeah,
micro. So influencers that definitely are going to have a little bit of a reach, not something super small like 500 followers, but definitely even between like 2,000 to 10,000, kind of just depending.
And right there, because you said 500 or 2,000, like for sure the number follower count matters, but then also like that they're alive and active, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a huge one. Like
yeah, so check like their last post dates, make sure they're on it.
Yeah.
And then I would just honestly... I would spend some time, I would follow them, I would get to know their content a little bit, I would check their comments and make sure if you are seeing a lot of comments that they're, this is another just like tip, not in a comment pod, which you can usually tell because it's a lot of the same comments over and over again. If you go to all their posts, it's the same people commenting over and over and over again, the same stuff. So right off the bat, that's inauthentic and it's probably just a waste of your time.
Yeah.
So I would check, I would spend some time on their profile, making sure people that are commenting or interacting with their content are even from that city. And are they posting about their city? So the influencer that's in Phoenix, are they posting about Phoenix? Are they showing people, hey, I live here? Are they showing like their real life? And then I would just reach out to them. I would DM them, honestly, or email them, whichever way feels more comfortable to you. But honestly, both ways work. You can DM them. And if they don't want to do business in their DM, they'll just tell you. But then I would just let them know, like connect, tell them a little bit about yourself, why you want to work with them, and then tell them what you can offer.
So yeah. What should they be looking for? What would you do? Like, and I really mean this, like I'm a restaurant, I'm like Kevin, like we need help. You reach out to influencers, you're like, okay, you've got 3 down in Phoenix, they're perfect, they're mm-hmm. down. Are you telling them exactly what you want them to post? Are you leaving it up to them? Do they need to make a video? Do they need to make a
yeah.
carousel, like does that matter? Like,
yeah, I think you need to decide what you want. And this can be in partnership with the influencer. I would suggest, honestly, hop on a phone call, look at their content, study it a little bit before so you know, do they make reels? Do they make IGTVs? Are they super active on stories? Because if
yeah.
you want a reel, but they've never made a reel before, they yeah. might not want to make a reel. But just talk to them, have an open conversation, a dialogue with them, and find out what they want, and then set those parameters beforehand so that you're not leaving this collaboration feeling like they didn't do enough. So I think while it doesn't need to be...
You just told me about content.
Yeah.
Like, say they do post, do you also have access to those photos for your feed? You know,
yeah.
Like that, which is kind of cool, right?
It's yeah.
Like two punch, like
yeah, I would think so. I think it's pretty common. It's almost a given within influencer marketing that whatever
content
they post... Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, you get that content and you're also setting the expectation up front so that the influencer does know what they need to get done. It's so important that it's not just left blank so that they know
yeah.
how to satisfy the brand and give them what they're asking for and what they're needing. And then the brand feels like the influencer gave them what they were asking for and feels that it was successful in that way.
Nice.
Yeah.
So then at that point, so we get them, they post, it's awesome. How does a brand know it was awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a number to track? And I know we can go super detailed, so not super, but like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, let's do it again. Is it just kind of, you, I guess, as an agency,
yeah.
like, you're kind of monitoring that, like, yo, like, this person did really well.
Yeah, I think... If we're still talking about a restaurant, I think you're going to notice right away, are people
okay.
following your page?
Okay.
Is there an influx in follows and likes after they post
really
to your own page? Are people DMing you now? Are you getting more people coming into their restaurant right now? Are you hearing about that influencer within your restaurant? And if you're a clothing brand, do you see a spike in sales on the product or even products as a whole right after that website influencer posted?
All that stuff, right?
Yeah, and I mean, there's a ton of different ways that you can track. You can make custom links, promo codes, all of that, but that doesn't make sense for every brand, and not every brand is going to want to do that. So I think there's really actionable ways that you can see, and now within technology, there's so many ways that you can track the analytics. You can track conversions. You can see where people are coming from. Are they coming from Instagram? Are they coming from YouTube? And you'll be able to tell, oh, that partnership that I did was successful.
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, do you just need content and you don't have a content team? And you can use the influencer to do that content for you. So maybe you did a post, their conversions weren't incredible, but the content was like super crisp, super exactly what you needed for, on brand. It was good. And then you can work on them just for content, because you need content, and content is so important and so valuable, but you don't have someone to make that content for you. You can work with influencers, so you can send them product, pay them the agreed upon amount, and then you get content, because it's probably more than likely going to be cheaper to work with influencers than it is to hire a model, a stylist, a makeup artist, a photographer, a studio, all of that. So you just work with an influencer. And then if you're working with 5 to 10 different influencers, you have 5 to 10 different models and 5 to 10 different locations and 5 to 10 different and all of that different ways. And you didn't have to do any of the work. You didn't have to find the photographers or the models or any of that, but the influencers are doing all of that, whether the influencer is their own photographer, stylist, makeup artist, or they hire. Yeah, most of the times they are, probably 98% of the time, or they're hiring those people for themselves. But that really takes the weight and
so
the
really
load.
It's a win-win at that point.
Yeah,
which
win-win.
Is, I think it full circle, like, that's why finding the right one makes sense, because they'll create really awesome content.
Yeah.
So I think this was really helpful. We probably could do like 10 more on influencer marketing, but I think like,
probably do like 100.
What I wanted to do, I know you can for sure, because you know a ton about it. I mean, I wanted to like open up about influencer marketing. I think it's an awesome, we've talked about this, like, I think it can go hand in hand with like paid media now and some organic. Like, I think what an influencer post can do today is insane. And I think I agree with you, like, it's going to continue. Like, it's going to increase because of what an influencer means. And so I think even to people listening, and they're like, ah, like, I'm not a brand, I'm not a restaurant, I don't need influencer marketing, but you yourself are growing your Instagram. I think like something I do see is, if you know what you like I like that you know what you like, Kevin, like, grow your personal page. Like, it doesn't hurt to grow your page.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be all fashion, it doesn't have to be all sports, it doesn't have to be all...
I mean, it can be literally memes.
Yeah, memes. Like, that's it. I like that a lot. So I do... I mean, unless you just want to use your Instagram and TikTok for like following friends and posting your family and friends, which is fine too. Like, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But if you are looking to grow, I think this is an awesome way. Like, find your niche or your niche, and then like really just keep posting and post a lot. I think that's it. Let's do another one. I think we went influencer marketing heavy for the brand. We'll do another one next time on influencer marketing for the individual influencers.
Yeah.
Like, things that influencers can do to grow their personal brand.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that'd be really good.
Yeah.
You'd be really good at it. So this is Kevin Peter Wilson. Follow him. I think your content is amazing. And I'm impressed by how many brands send you stuff. Because I think your stuff is really good. It's very consistent. And your following is really solid, which is cool.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think I started working with brands when I had like 1,400 followers.
Really?
And I think that just shows the power of being consistent, because I was consistent posting almost daily for an entire year and creating content that I liked, and that was pretty solid. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, looking back on it now, I don't love it, obviously, because my style has changed in the last like 3 years. But for that time, I loved it, and I was just consistent. So I think we could do a whole episode.
I think so too.
About how to build your following and how to work with brands when you have 1,000 followers, because you 100% can work with brands when you have 800 followers.
Yeah. Well, that's gonna be freaking nice for people to listen to. Which, it's like, I don't even know if we want to unravel that. But we will. But I think that's awesome. I mean, Kevin, super knowledgeable. I appreciate this. Hope you guys did. Yeah, this was good. I think this was really good. So we'll do part 2 at some point soon. That's it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.